So you should.
So if
give
you
us a
want
call.
To share adult poetry,
720.
Now is the time to call.
Wow.
Okay,
we're a team here. 720-240-9766.
That's 720-240-9766.
Call in with your adult theme poetry
now.
Our phone lines are now open. If you're one of the millions of listeners who are dying to speak with J. Todd, Michael, or JT, call now at 720-240-9766. They are so looking forward to hearing from you.
Now's the perfect time to call, 720-240-WPOM at 720-240-9766 to share your poetry or spoken word art with the masses.
Thank you.
This is C.W. McCall. You're listening to World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
Wait.
Did you?
Sorry.
Were you not listening to Mr. C.W. McCall?
It's okay. That saved money. Don't say something.
But he said the whole phrase.
You know what, man? The shirt is coming straight off my back.
Here
but
on
not
World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution poetry radio.
Because it's after dark.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't even know why I was wearing the shirt on my back the whole time. They're meant to be worn on my whole torso.
Candles lit. We've got a nice glass of Chardonnay.
One glass of Chardonnay.
But we're sharing it.
I was thinking of Merlot or Malbec.
Not a Merlot. Malbec, yes.
I like Merlot's Malbec.
Merlot's too just gentle. What we have
Merlot's for with red meat. Never mind. This is after dark.
No Merlot!
All right.
You can tell who drinks white on here. No Merlot! Come on! Uh-huh.
Well, you were a sommelier at one point in time.
Well.
In one lifetime that you had.
Well, you know, they say that the first step is, you know, first sommelier, second, third, and then master sommelier. And then you become a wino. So that was kind of the direction I was headed at the time.
He was walking the Bukowski path to poetry. There you go.
Very true.
Are you sure that's not bouquet? Because wines have bouquets.
Bukowski?
Bukowski. No. Maybe it's Bukowski. No?
Speaking of, it's after dark.
We have poets waiting to go on for us.
Expectantly.
So, please welcome our first contestant for the After Dark segment. Calling all the way from New York, she is Lorraine.
Here I am, guys.
Hey, welcome back.
Again, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. We've got our fuzzy slippers on. Well, except for Michael.
I do. How did you know? Must have a Skype phone going or something. Yeah, I do. I have fuzzy gray and white polka dot pink bow slippers on.
Beautiful.
There you go. I have to preface this poem, this is a little on the lighter side, but as you know, I had a house guest, the mouse, who we still haven't caught. The traps are up and, you know, the doors are blocked and the room doors are closed. Still haven't seen hide nor hair, but I have a feeling it's still around. I just get that feeling. So the cats are on probation.
Uh-oh.
The cats are on probation. Yeah. What happens if they're not?
Well, then she goes on parole. No, I heard Michelle told me that mouse droppings are toxic. So I'm a little concerned you know, if this thing is eating, it's got to have another outlet. So I don't know where it's going or where it is.
Well, I don't know what you guys do there in New York, but we don't eat mouse droppings here, so it can't be that toxic.
That's a good thing to know. I don't know what you eat in Denver. I mean, I don't know if you get to restaurants or delis with the snow there. I don't know.
We basically stay inside and freeze. Yes. We're just freezing right now.
We think there might be
a herd of deer that come by the front door, and hopefully, if it's not too cold, we can shoot one of them and feed ourselves for the next week.
Oh, God. Venison and the denizens. I just wanted to say, I embrace the philosophy in life, and I wrote this a while back. I seek the simple peace. I so envy watching my cat sleep. Now that I've said that, I wrote this following her her being not a cat with this mouse thing, wherever it is. It's called Wussy Pussy.
All right.
Finicky cat. My girlfriend said, that's a terrible name. Okay, but that's it. Wussy Pussy. Finicky cat, you're lazy and fat, but I clean your litter box in spite of that. I want to yank a whisker out. Did I hear a hiss or is that a pout? Don't worry, eventually I'll figure it out. In the meantime, wipe that smirk off your snout. Tell me, are you bored with me? Seems you'd like to be set free. Before your paws head out that door, here's some wisdom you can't ignore. That collar you're wearing won't mean a thing in a tomcat attack that'll make your bell ring. Life in the wild is a struggle each day. You'll fight for your life. Do you get what I say? The friskies I serve you while holding my breath will someday provoke you to fight to the death. So keep this in mind while your hormones are surging. It'll be a long time before you taste some sturgeon. You'll need to mark trees to outline your boundary. Try to establish this near a fish foundry. The home you've grown in, the house you call home in, will not take you back. So I guess you should pack. Coming up. While you're thinking of leaving, don't forget your bed. There's no soft pine needles where you lay your head. If you take to heart what I chose to impart, you just may find courage to quickly discourage this wild thing inside you that wants to misguide you. And you'll stop all this crap, stay and take a cat nap, and you'll know nothing's better than my kiss on your head. So stay. Stay home instead. And get back in your bed. Dream of chasing some mice, which is every cat's vice. Stop this quest to be free. Rejoin our family tree. Be the star that you are and the cat you can be. Yay, princess!
We love
hey,
cat
poetry.
Hey,
if she catches it, I'm sending it to you.
Wow. Wait, you're going to send us mouse poop?
No, the cat.
No,
oh.
I'm going to send you the mouse.
I kind of thought, I think that borderlines on terrorism.
It's not a threat. It's a promise.
If you wear a ski mask while you're
mouth.
Sending that letter, ma'am, that's it.
Well, give me your box number. I can't send it via, you know, the computer, so yeah. I guess I'm out of luck. But anyhow, I wish you the best, and I'm so glad to hear that you guys, you know, a lot of calls coming in, must be. So I'm so happy for that. You deserve it. And next week you're going to be there?
Yes, we will.
Well,
we're not
God
scheduled
willing,
for another day off
I'm
till March.
Be here too.
So.
All right. Well, great.
Awesome. Looking forward to it, Lorraine.
Well, sounds great. And talk to you then, and have a great week.
Awesome.
That
was Lorraine on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
There goes another breakfast we could have had, or
damn
another
it.
Lunch we could have had.
That's all right. We're working on a deal to get our meetings held for cheap to nothing.
No.
No?
No. People are going to have to pay.
Pay?
Pay out the nostrils, which is a weird way to pay if you think about it.
Well, it is after dark, after all.
It's not really a problem.
Well, not when you have a nose the size of mine.
Oh, well.
Luigi.
All
right, so speaking of it's not a problem, let's boogie on over to the next caller.
It's not a problem.
Wow!
Please welcome from right here in Littleton, good he Lord. Is Berto.
Hey, Berto. No, it's Amade. How are you?
Doing well. How are you, man?
Okay, so I'm looking at something that I don't know how old it is, so... It's
during After Dark?
What's up?
So I'm looking at something. I don't know how old it is. It's on our website. So here we go.
Okay.
It's called The Gypsy Wandered In. Guileless, innocent, you do not do. Brown gypsy, you are more than what you appear. A grievous end is what you pursue. Compound eyes work against you when a fatal lampwick lures you near. Too early seen unknown, you do not do. The looming porch light color blue is lepidopteran despair, quick the fruitless path you pursue. Cedar branches sway a song that soothes but drives you mad, flaming wings of cashmere, singed antennae, you do not do. Earthen moth, the route you flew blazes wing dust in a flash of tears. You only attain what you pursue. You steal a drink from a drop of dew. You whisper songs of light in my ear and vanish in the afterglow. You do not do the grievous end you once pursued. Yeah.
I really enjoyed that.
I did too.
Thanks. It's a villanelle.
I like villanelles, and I liked your interpretation on that form in the poem that you wrote. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. It's really easy in languages like French because every word rhymes with A, like all of them. So you
well, yeah.
Yeah.
Same thing with, well, is pig Latin kind of the same thing?
Pig Latin. Yeah, that counts too.
I said that and instantly was like, and how many people, how many Frenchmen specifically am I going to be making angry by saying this? Right?
Yes. But that's all right.
How many French names do I have? Well, I'm more Japanese and Hispanic than French. So, you know.
Absolutely. That makes sense.
Exactly, right?
Yeah. All right, Mike. Well, hey, man, happy holidays to you. Thanks for calling in. I'm glad to hear your voice again.
Happy New Year.
Hey, happy New Year to you, buddy.
Happy New Year, Mike.
Bye-bye.
That was Michael Berteau on World Poetry Open Mic, The Next Evolution in Poetry Radio.
With pants off.
With the pants off. This is after.
Wait a second. What? I can't say with pants off? Are you serious? That's kind of gross.
That's going to cost us more money. Those are like $40 per
pair. Those are gross. Pants off. Yep.
The Next Evolution Poetry Radio. Pants off.
I'm going broke. Oh, Lord.
I wonder what other weird phrases we could come up with to have weird sound effects with them.
Let's see. If she won't turn to the dark side, or if you got, let me try that again. If you won't turn to the dark side, then perhaps she will. How come $70 just left my account?
What?
$70? For that?
That was like way over the top.
Good, huh?
Maybe that was because I screwed up. I'll try it again later.
Later. But right now we've got a poet.
Yes.
From New York. Well, we've been to New York a lot tonight.
There's now, talent.
Now for some uncensored therapy, please welcome back to our show, Leo.
Are we there yet? Are we in After Dark? Okay.
We are there yet.
But I can't see. Okay.
Oh, well, don't worry about it. I'm more mentally ill than French myself, so, you know.
That's a great phrase there, actually.
I figured, you know, let me join the crowd. Listen, because you guys, I don't know if it's okay, but I've been in giggle mode all day long, and I have this joke that's stuck in my mind. I'm wondering if I can quickly share this joke before I read or not.
Sure,
of course you can.
Up to you.
Go ahead.
Okay. Yes. All right. Well, this Superman is flying around in the sky, and he sees Wonder Woman on top of the rooftop, naked as a jaybird and spread eagle. So he's like, man, I'd love to get some of that. And he says, wait a minute. I'm Superman. I can use my super speed and jump down there and get out and before she even knows it, what's going on. So that's what he does. He shoots down. He drills Wonder Woman. Shell shoots out in a second before she knows anything is happening. Wonder Woman yells out, what the hell happened? And the Invisible Man says, I don't know, but my ass is killing me.
You know exactly the kind of joke to tell to make J. Todd laugh
yes.
for hours and hours.
Yes.
You'll be telling that at church on Sunday morning.
Quite possibly.
I've been waiting all day to say that joke.
Awesome.
Oh, that's great. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
I'm glad it fell on receptacle ears.
Receptacle ears? Now that's a whole new level of After Dark.
That's another joke coming out. Okay, I don't know what kind of ears we see.
Let's straighten up here. Let's act like that didn't happen and let's move on.
Oh, okay. Right. Well, you know, I don't know if what I'm going to read is any much different or acceptable, but you know, I've been kind of with the holidays, you know, I just figured somebody mentioned something about something and it made me write this. So, let's see what you think about it. It's called Driving in the Hoodie. Some guy takes his regular Christmas ride in his car to New York while puffing on his big fat joint. But he gets too close to the hoodie of Harlem at one point, and suddenly this big wall of smoke comes up and smashes right into his car. All of a sudden, he catches a big whiff and through the open window, and from the sheer power of it, knocks him out. Then a crash. Next thing you know, his ass is on the ground. But he's all right, funny as that sounds. So he finds himself right near the projects. A drug dealer, while collecting his money, sees this guy and finds it funny. So he offers him a cigarette the size of a tie. And this guy quickly sticks it in his mouth and lights it up. That long shit hangs from his mouth to his belly. Not knowing that it's full of crack and angel dust, he starts puffing really hard and rough, tripping deeper into the hoodie and finally landing on his sore booty. Then he found a hose hoodie sitting on top of his snooty. He said, "I smell something funny going on in here." And she said, "That'll be $10, dear." That's all he remembered till he woke up feeling tender in bed the next morning, not knowing what happened or where he was traveling around, or even how the hell all of this went down. But one thing was definite. His cock looked like it was melting, and it hurt like shit. The moral of this story, don't celebrate the holidays with drugs, or your dick might fall off. This message brought to you by MADD, Men Against Dead Dicks. Merry Christmas.
Where were you 3 months ago?
Right?
Good work, man. I like it.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. That's my Christmas mentality and message for the
year. That's what Christmas trees make you think of, too, huh?
And you even had a poll sponsor and everything, man. I was, like, really impressed.
That organization is not to be confused with the organization opposed to selfish bastards, Men Against Dumb Dicks, okay?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And then there's the Mothers Against Dyslexic Drivers, which is Dan. Yeah.
Dyslexia, okay. let me not mention it for the next time. Thanks a lot, guys. I had a great time tonight.
I have had a great time, too. Thank you for making me laugh, my friend.
A pleasure. The pleasure was mine. Thanks.
I have to send a quarterback your way because that was very good. Very therapeutic laughter.
The quarterback. Well, you can get rid of Peyton Manning after the next few weeks.
Hey. Yeah.
Badoop ching.
He's going to be feeling funny when I send them to you for payment. So, I mean.
Ooh.
I feel like we're just throwing the same quarter back and forth every week.
Have a great night, guys.
Have a good night, Leo. That was Leo on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
Bam! More money not getting paid to me.
Or is it?
There you go. Maybe you're the supplier of that sound effect.
Maybe this show, when we say things like World Poetry Open Mic,
the next evolution of poetry radio,
is really just a money laundering front for my vanity women's underwear site.
Wait, women's vanity women's underwear site triggers. I love it.
You know why?
Why?
Because women's underwear site.
Vanity women's underwear site.
So it's
got to be the whole phrase.
Now, if I'm talking about I am riddled with vanity.
Nothing.
If I am riddled with vanity women's underwear site.
See?
I am really mystified on how this works.
I am too.
Wow.
All right, okay. So back to business on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. We have another poet lined up. This guy, this all the way over on the left coast, please welcome Leah. Hello.
Hello.
Hey,
yes, can you hear me?
Yes,
there's a little tiny bit of a lag. So.
There is.
We weren't sure what to do with that. Yeah, we can't really do anything about it. Sorry.
That's what she said. We weren't sure what to do with that.
Wow.
It is after dark, after all.
Yeah, I'm just going to be talking as if I really did understand what you're saying.
That's everybody does with me.
It actually goes along with my poem, which I actually wrote some years back. I was looking at it and thinking, wow, this poem's about 8 or 9 years old now. And when I first moved back to the Midwest after I inexplicably left the Northwest and moved back to the Midwest, and I started this campaign, it was before Facebook and everything, of just trying to look up people that I'd left behind that I, you know, had always wondered for like the last 20 years whatever happened to them. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, what Bill Murray does in that Jim Jarmusch film when he goes and he, like, visits all of his old exes and stuff like that. Only I was just trying to figure out what happened to him. I wasn't necessarily visiting them. And, of course, I found out that something, you know, particularly, you know, unfortunate had happened to one of them. And I wrote this poem called Word Salad. Word salad is when you hear bits of sentences, but none of the words make sense, you explain to me earnestly. We were probably smoking bowls in the front seat of your purple 1972 Gremlin. The floor was littered with stems and fast food bags and the occasional foraging parasite. Drivers screamed at you as they passed. It didn't matter what you were doing, parking, making a right turn, changing the radio, people were always ready to kick your ass for it. On the last day of 1979, we drove from one end of Chicago to the other, listening to Freebird and Stairway to Heaven while trying to stuff a foot-long bong underneath the passenger seat. Three months earlier, you woke up in my bed and announced that you had decided to become bisexual, because it seemed like the healthy way to be. And then you asked me if I wanted to take a road trip. You wanted me to show you all the places that I had told you about that you had never seen. So we went to the farmhouse north of Springfield where my stepfather had committed suicide 2 years earlier. We climbed through the window and crept through the room like criminals staring at the walls. And then we drove 90 miles to visit my bisexual friend Michael in his trailer in Urbana. Michael was like a Russ Meyer character come to life, or a caricature of Oscar Wilde who was living on a diet of gourmet food and LSD and group sex. Afterwards, you confessed that you didn't like men, but there was this one moment when you had one of your hands on my breast and the other on Michael's cock when you were completely aware of your power. Mostly, you are unsure of yourself. I called you a spoiled suburban boy with delusions of world domination. Obsessed with Napoleon when you were in high school, you had dreams of joining the military and dropping bombs like anonymous letters. You couldn't understand why I hated you, because we were such close friends. One night we fucked in the turret of an empty Victorian building, and I almost loved you in a distant kind of way. But you ruined it by telling me that I only showed my feelings during sex and I was an ice princess the rest of the time. So the last time I saw you, we smoked a bowl under a freeway overpass. We promised to keep in touch, but we didn't. You joined the Air Force, but they wouldn't let you specialize in nuclear warfare because of your marijuana habit. As a consolation prize, they said that you could become an air traffic controller. I liked to think of you making $200,000 a year, directing international air traffic with a cocktail in one hand and a fat joint in the other, feeling completely aware of your power. But the truth is that you got a medical discharge for alcoholism and schizophrenia after less than a year. The government talked constantly to you through your dental fillings, conveying urgent, garbled messages that didn't make any sense. You returned to your Midwestern family who corralled you in the den like a dog. They taught you to play a mean game of bridge while you chain-smoked and tried not to drink. It was impossible for you to live alone without somebody watching you. One morning, your parents found you on your kitchen floor, naked and covered with wounds. No one knew if you'd been beaten or you simply had fallen repeatedly. You survived the coma and two brain surgeries, only to die in your bed a year later from a fire caused by an unextinguished cigarette, leaving behind two children, three ex-wives, and a pair of secretly relieved parents. Your mother still lives in downstate Illinois, chain-smoking while attached to an oxygen tank, and wondering why you were so self-destructive. I would rather think of the two of us spray-painting the cement wall behind the Adler Planetarium, or hitchhiking to New Orleans in January, being chased by angry truckers, then escaping. I'd like to feel we both escaped, but I guess only one of us did. And I'd like to think that you found your power once you let go of your body, but your body is probably in a rural Illinois cemetery with a bucket of artificial flowers on your head. Because not even death can stop you from being a loser. But at least it makes it easier for people to ignore you. Okay, that's it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's like, you know, it starts out funny, but it's like, I was just, this is the first time I've read that in a long time. I was like, oh, this gets really sad in the middle.
It gets sad in the middle and then kind of biting at the end.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was Jimmy. That was kind of, you know, that was the way he was.
So he starts out funny. He's a little sad in the beginning of the relationship, or the middle of the relationship, and he's biting in the end. I get you.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we knew each other since this is like, you know, like a lot of my stuff, semi-autobiographical.
Yeah.
and actually Jimmy was someone I knew since I was a kid. So.
My memoirs are going to be semi-autobiographical.
Yeah. we met when I was like 11 or something like that. So it's kind of crazy.
That is sad.
So, anyway, I'll let you go. It's been really great talking to you again.
Leah, it's been a kick. Thank you very much, and I hope we talk to you next week.
Okay, all right. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. That was Leah on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. And his website for Vanity Women's Underwear. Wow, that does work.
You guys check this out.
Right.
I am going to take these off and see what sound effect this makes.
All right.
Wonderful. Wonderful. All right.
That was a steer, wasn't it? Just kidding.
That was kidding. A bull, my friend.
Right, someone that doesn't have a lot of bull, but please welcome for his third time in one show and his first show ever, please welcome Charles from Ohio.
Yeah, I got the perfect poem for this After Dark segment.
Awesome.
I wrote this for Nicole. It's called My Stream Has Greatly Improved Since Drinking More Water.
Okay.
She had to remind me to drink more water when I mentioned that my stream was intermittent. I am funny that way. All the truths that should be self-evident either are just out of reach or lost in a parallel universe. Sometimes when I stand in front of the toilet getting ready to take a pee, I like to imagine myself as John Hancock signing the Declaration of Independence. Most of the time, though, I know I'm just another graffiti artist writing the side of a boxcar door. Usually I pee sitting down because it's easier than having to constantly be wiping off the seat. I know I could just lift it up, but my aim has never been very good, especially when my stream sometimes shoots in multiple directions. Some way, somehow, trying to make things right in my own head. It is a difficult proposition, though. Everything's on fire, and there's no fire extinguisher on hand. Lend me your ear. I promise the lies I lay down will be fully pressed and wrinkle-resistant. She had to remind me to drink more water when I mentioned that my stream was suffering from stage fright. Not every performer works better under pressure, and that became painstakingly clear when only drips and drops of tinkle came out of my water spout. Sometimes, when I stand in front of the toilet getting ready to take a pee, I like to imagine myself as an honest-to-God man and not just some arrested adolescent who is finding it hard to stand on his own 2 feet and take a proper piss.
Putting the dark in After Dark, he is Charles from Ohio.
Thank you very much.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Charles on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. What was that?
No, just kidding.
Well, you know, that brought to mind a news story.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you guys were reading about this, but Barack Obama noticed outside the White House window that there was, in yellow snow, written, "Barack Obama sucks." So he goes and gets the Secret Service. He's like, "I want you to find out whose urine that is." So after 2 days of extensive investigation, the Secret Service comes in. We've got good news and bad news. He's like, "Well, give it to me straight." He's like, "Well, the urine is Rush Limbaugh's, and we kind of suspected that." The bad news is the handwriting is Michelle Obama's.
Wow. I know. Yeah.
Sorry. Come on. You can't say you've never heard that one before.
We still have a caller.
What?
Yeah, another it's all caller? Right. You got lost trying to do your little Rush Limbaugh gig over there.
Sorry. Preposterous. Preposterous.
Oh, no, I can't believe it. Ow. Okay.
All right. Please let Barbara save us from ourselves. Barbara, are you there?
I'm here, and again, I have to follow something really amazing.
Oh, you're amazing, too. Don't sell yourself short.
I'm not pulling myself short. Believe me. I know how great I am. I mean, I just got my 24th wonderful 5-star review on my book, so.
Beautiful.
Yes, my book. Remember I told you I have a book?
Yep. Yes, I said beautiful.
Oh, thank you. I'm sorry. I can't hear that well.
No worries. You're going to want to turn down your listening device just a little bit.
Oh.
We don't want it to.
Turn it off.
Yeah, you don't want it to affect your performance.
No, I forgot I had it on, actually.
Uh-huh.
Because I was listening to everybody. It's just so incredible. And Leah, oh my God, her poetry is so amazing. I'd like to just sit down and talk with her because she sounds like she's had such a fascinating life, you know, just from the poems.
Well, we all have our own fascinating moments in our lives.
I've had my fascinating life, too, with kind of crazy, you know, car trips and crazy nights.
Mm-hmm.
And joints and things like that. Yeah, I've done my share.
And it's not too late. You can still do a spliff or two.
Oh, yeah. If there was some around, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard.
So you got a poem for us for After Dark?
I do. Mine is kind of dark. It was actually published in this book called Beyond the Dark Room that you can get on Amazon.
Okay.
And it's by the... Actually, we called ourselves the Anthologists, and we put together 2 books of poetry. And this one is the darker one. Anyway, I could read either or both, so you decide, guys.
Let's do the dark one tonight. We'll save the other one for our next show.
Oh, no, they're both dark. They're really bad. Dark.
I would say just choose one. Just choose one and go with it, because we try to do just one per.
I don't know which one.
All right.
The one on the left.
One.
The one on the left.
No, there is no left.
The one on the top.
The one that was written the earliest.
There you go.
Okay, I'll do the one on top.
All right.
Ooh. All right. Okay. It's called Anger. And I want you to know this is not biographical. So, or autobiographical. It's just dark. Anger. It built slowly, like a faraway wave, rolling forth, gaining momentum as the thoughts crowd her brain. cresting to its full strength, a force unchecked. And she surveys the damage, the surf bubbles subsiding, the cuts on her thigh left behind, like furrows in wet sand at low tide.
That was quick.
Thank you.
You know what? Should we let her do the other one? That was real sure. quick.
Yeah, was real we short. Didn't know it was going to be short. That short.
Yeah,
we
did, yeah.
Don't be short. Don't, short.
All right, do the other one, too.
This one is a little different, also very, very dark.
Okay.
It's called Innocence Destroyed.
All right.
She wears her innocence like a shield, yet his sword rips into her, uncaring of her baby's soft skin and unexplored regions. It slashes beyond the barrier, turning bubblegum dreams into nightmares as she hears him say, "Daddy wouldn't hurt you," but it's too late. She has locked herself in a secret place and swallowed the key.
Wow.
Wow. Wow, see? Two really strong, short but strong entries there.
These were published in that book, Beyond the Dark Room, which has some other incredible poems.
Awesome.
And these came, I have no idea where they came from because this is not my experience, but I guess I've heard enough about other people's experiences, seen a lot of, you know, movies and stuff, so it all came in to me, but that's, you know, what I think. I wish I could make you guys laugh because, you know.
It's okay.
No, Barbara, we go up and down. A lot of times we do. A lot of times the reason we come at this as like with comedy is because sometimes the work is so intense. We have to kind of find some emotional place to keep it.
Like a stopgap.
Yeah, we have to. Sometimes we have to try to raise things back up. So we come at it with that level. But we absolutely welcome everything, including what you're talking about. And it's something that we're here for.
Yeah, and I don't usually write this dark, but this was written in 2012 and put into this book because my friend said, "Oh, we have to write some dark poems and put them together." And I said, "Okay, I'll do them."
So you get to explore a different side of your mind that you've never, you know, embraced before. I get it.
Definitely. Yes, really. I don't think like this. You know, I do get angry, but not, you know, to that point. But I just wanted to let you guys know, yeah, I got my 24th review.
Beautiful.
After it was published in 2011, If I Could Be Like Jennifer Taylor, and it got its 24th review, and in the review is three times she said fantastic, fantastic, fantastic.
Oh, how
fantastic.
Cool. How cool.
Nice.
So I was very excited, and my other poem, my other book, After, is now on Predators and Editors. You know that website where you can vote for people's books?
Yeah.
And things? Yes, I'm on the Young Adult.
So everybody go out and vote for her book. Put it over the top.
Vote for my book, After. There's an After there, but it's not me. After by Barbara Ehrentruh, because the other After is a fanfic.
All right.
That turned it for One Direction. That turned into like a book, so I don't know how.
Oh, that wasn't you? I thought that was you.
You're not into One Direction?
No. I mean, I can't say I'm not because I've heard them, and they're, you know, they're cute, young, and they're like, you know, it's like watching my kids. So
those are my requirements.
Old.
What are you doing in a young adult fiction? No, I'm kidding.
Totally kidding.
I know. No, it's creepy, right?
No, it's not creepy at all, Barbara. We're just giving you a hard time.
We're just having a good time with this poetry stuff. Barbara, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for calling and sharing with us. And it's been great hearing from you.
I did enjoy my time tonight, guys.
All right, message me on Facebook where we can work out my appearance on your show.
I will.
Awesome.
Definitely. You should have a great time. Okay. All right. See you later, guys.
See you later. That was Barbara Ehrentruh on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good one, guys.
So, Leo and Leah both kind of picked the poem that I was going to do. I had two queued up.
Sounds like a conspiracy.
It is a conspiracy. Leo and Leah picked the poem that I'm going to do.
A government
I was
going to
do something new, but this is an old standard. Now, you guys were with me the last time I performed this. Think back to July on a rooftop.
Okay.
This is written by Mr. Shel Silverstein. This is entitled The Great Smoke Off. Now, in a laid-back California town of sunny San Rafael lived a girl named Pearly Sweetcake. You probably know her well. She was stoned 15 of her 18 years, and her story was widely told that she could smoke them faster than anyone could roll. Well, her legend finally reached New York, that Grove Street walk-up flat, where dwelt the Calistoga Kid, a beatnik from the past. He'd been rolling dope since time began. Now he took a cultured toke and said, "Jim, I can roll him faster than any chick in smoke." So a note gets sent to San Rafael for the championship of the world. The kid demands a smoke-off. "Well, bring him on," says Pearl. "I'll grind his fingers off his hands. He'll roll until he drops," says Calistoga. "I'll smoke that chick till she blows up and pops." So they rent out Yankee Stadium, and the word is quickly spread. Come one, come all who walk or crawl, tickets just two lids ahead. And from every town and hamlet, over land and sea they speed, the world's greatest dopers with the world's greatest weed. Hashishas from Morocco, hemp smokers from Peru, and the Shoshniks from Bagoon who smoke the deadly Pougaroo. And those that call it light of life, and those that call it boo. See the dealers and their ladies wearing turquoise lace and leather. See the narcos and the closet smokers puffing all together. From the teenies who smoke legal to the ones that have done some time to the old man that smoked reefer back before it was a crime. And the grand old house that Ruth built was filled with the smokes and cries of 50,000 screaming heads all stoned out of their minds. And they play the national anthem and the crowd lets out a roar. And the spotlight hits Kid and Pearl ready for their smoking war. At a table piled high with grass, as high as a mountain peak, just the tops and buds of the rarest flowers, not one stem, branch, or seed. I mean, Maui Wowie, Panama Red, Acapulco Gold, Keef from East Afghanistan, and that rare Alaska cold. And there's sticks from Thailand, and ganja from the islands, and Bangkok's blooming best. And some of that wet imported shit that capsized off Key West. And there's Oxcana tops and Kenya Bang and rivery fleurs and the rare Manhattan silvers that grow in the New York sewers. And there's bubbling ice cold lemonade and sweet grapes by the brunches. And there's Hershey bars and Oreos in case anybody gets the munches. And the Calistoga Kitty smiles and Pearly she just grins. And the drums roll low, and the crowd yells, "Go, go, go!" And the world's first smoke-off begins. Well, the kid, he flicks his fingers once and zap, that first joint's rolled. Pearl takes one toke with her famous lungs and whoosh, that roach is cold. Then the kid, he rolls his super bomb that could paralyze a moose. Pearl takes one mighty hit and that bomb's diffused. Then he rolls three in just 10 seconds time, and she smokes him up in 9. And everybody sits back and says, "Hey, this might just take some time." See the blur of flying fingers, see the red coal burning bright, as the night turns into morning, and the morning fades to night. And the autumn turns to summer, and a whole damn year is gone, and the two still sit on that roach-filled stage, smoking and rolling on. With trembling hands, he rolls his J's with fingers blue and stiff. She coughs and stares through bloodshot gaze and puffs through blistered lips. And she reaches out her hand for another stick of gold. The kitty gasps, "Damn it, bitch, there's nothing left to roll." "Nothing left to roll," screams Pearl. "Is this some twisted joke? I didn't come here to fuck around. I came here to smoke."
"Yeah."
And she reaches across the table and grabs his bony sleeves and crumbles his body between her hands like dry and brittle leaves, flicking out his teeth and bones like useless stem and seeds. Then she rolls him in a zigzag and lights him like a roach. And the fastest man with the fastest hands goes up in a puff of smoke. In a laid-back California town of sunny San Rafael lives a girl named Pearlie Sweetcake. You probably know her well. She'd been stoned 21 of her 24 years, and her story is still widely told, how she can smoke them faster than any dude can roll. While off in New York City, on a street that has no name, there's the hands of the Calistoga Kid in the Viper Hall of Fame. And underneath his fingers, there's a little golden scroll that says, "Beware of being a roller when there's nothing left to roll." I like Shel Silverstein. He's so awesome.
Yeah.
I love doing that cover, too.
Well,
that was After Dark.
Guys, we pulled a show off with a new streaming service we did not know about just hours before the broadcast.
Yeah.
And
we kept our stream through the whole show.
Right. And
not like other poets. I'm totally kidding.
Wow.
But I want to say thank you to all of the poets who hung in there. Listen, let us know what you think. You know, comment on our Facebook page. If you haven't liked us, because I know we're on YouTube here, go to Facebook, World Poetry Open Mic, like us there. Let us know what you think about the whole thing.
We want your constructive criticisms. Right. We know haters are going to hate. So what?
Yeah, absolutely. So,
help us build this thing.
And firsts are first, and you know, lasts are last. Sorry, it's a thing on YouTube to be first to comment.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
So,
we've been having chat. We've been doing chat all night.
That's awesome.
Which has been really cool. So, guys, I want to say thank you again. Let us know what you think, and we're really looking forward to seeing you next week.
I'm J. Todd Underhill for my co-hosts Michael Amade and JT. I want to thank you for tuning in. Good night, Robert Mordlin, wherever you're at.
Out on the scene today, blasted in every way, got you caught on the other side. Some things you just can't hide, feel the poison of changing me. All that I'll ever be comes back crushing on into me. Comes again. Has it spotted you? Oh no. Have they got you too? Oh no. Has it spotted you? It takes something inside me breaks. Hang myself by a rope of words, whether or not it hurts. Got to save you from all of your demons that had to score every trick that. And it came out great. Has it
your mouth.